Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we have two texts, two separate sermons. The first one is found recorded in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. And he said to them, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So far for sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, our ascended Lord and King, who rules all things, both in heaven and on earth, dear fellow redeemed. Very often in our family driving vacation trips, we see signs on the road that said, "Scenic view ahead." But so often we were in a hurry to get where we were going, we didn't stop and check it out. Now, as I've gotten older and don't have the kids in the car with me, as I drive by those scenic view things, I think I should probably stop and look at them. And I wonder how many beautiful views, how many wonderful sights we maybe missed over the years. Well, this evening, during this busy spring season, we're buying and planting flowers and gardens and mowing and spring cleaning and other activities like graduations and confirmations and weddings. We're going to stop and take the time to view our Savior's ascension. And what a scenic view it is. It's 40 days after Easter. During those 40 days, the Lord has been speaking to his disciples, teaching them about his ministry and about his calling and all that he's done for them, preparing them for his departure, his farewell of his visible presence off this earth. The scriptures have been fulfilled. The cross was raised up and Jesus was put on it. He endured eternal torments and he said, "It is finished." He suffered and died, was buried in the tomb. 3 days later, it was empty, as he prophesied. Jesus rose and appeared to the disciples with the words, "Peace be with you." Jesus has finished his mission on this earth. And now he's preparing to return to his home in heaven. So what does this sight, this scenic view of Jesus' ascension, show you and me as we stop to look at it? Well, first of all, we see Jesus ascending not with one half of a sacrifice for sin, but a complete sacrifice for sin. All of our sins have been paid for in full. All transgressions have been washed away. Every spot and stain has been cleansed, and God the Father has declared us righteous, perfect in his sight through his Son, Jesus. All prophecies have been fulfilled. Our salvation requires no finishing touches, no tying up loose ends by you and by me. In fact, as we see this scenic view of Jesus ascending, we're assured that we have been sanctified, made holy, separate through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus' mission is done. This scenic view of our Savior's ascension shows us that someday we too will ascend into heaven. Jesus promised us that. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also." This scenic view of our Savior's ascension shows us that Jesus is ascending back to heaven to his Father to sit on his right hand and rule over everything. The Apostle Paul writes He, God the Father, raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And this glorious scenic view of our Savior's ascension shows us that even as Jesus' mission is done, ours has just begun. In verse 8 of our sermon text, our first sermon text, the Lord says to us, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's our mission. To tell lost souls that this mission of Jesus Christ our Savior is accomplished, is finished, is complete, is done. Everything needed to be done for us lost sinners has been fulfilled. The ascending Savior reminds me that if there is but one lost soul who has yet not heard this message, my mission, my work, is not done. Our second sermon text this evening is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. In the first sermon we talked about the scenic view of our Savior. But what did the disciples see on that ascension day? How could they miss seeing the nail prints in those hands of their Savior as he lifted them up above their heads and blessed them, and then slowly rose up into the sky? As they saw those nail prints, they must have immediately remembered Calvary and his agony and his pain and his suffering. As they saw those nail prints, they must have immediately realized what was the cause of all that agony and suffering in those nails. Their many sins and their Savior's great, amazing love. In love, the sinless one came down to this earth in order to be defiled by the sins of all. In love, the eternal one came down to this earth in order to die our death and to fill our grave for us. But they also saw those nail prints in his hands, not in dead hands lying folded across a lifeless chest. But those are living hands. For the past 40 days, the living Jesus had been speaking to them about their full forgiveness of sins, perfect peace, and everlasting life in heaven. And now as he leaves them with his work be done, all done, his hands with his nail prints are blessing them in peace. His mission is accomplished. Remember, this was Jesus' glorified body. Remember, he could appear and disappear, pass through walls. Time and space couldn't hold this glorified body of Jesus. So why does his glorified body still have the nail prints in his hands, in his feet, and in his side? Why isn't his body perfect? Oh, those nail prints show what he did for us. Those nail prints show how much he loved us. They remind us how much our Savior has done for us. And no doubt, that view the disciples saw of Jesus as he was ascended to heaven and his nail prints in his hands was seared into their hearts and their minds for the future. For as they faced troubles, as they thought that their life was coming to an end and all the future was dark and dreary and gloomy and looked all hopeless, they could think back upon those loving hands of Jesus lifted out over their heads, blessing them. As they faced temptation, they could think of those loving hands of Jesus saying, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll never, never leave you or forsake you. As they went through sorrows and sufferings and danger and death, they could remember those loving hands of their Savior, encompassing them, surrounding them, assuring them that he'd see them through, even the valley of the shadow of death itself. He was holding his loving, living hands over them. It's no wonder they returned to Jerusalem, not with tears in their eyes, but with great joy. Those nail print hands reminded them of what he would still do for them. You know, it's pretty easy for me to think of those nail print hands of our Savior blessing me too when the days are good, the sun is shining, everything's fine and dandy in my life. But then when I thought about that, to my shame, sometimes when those days are good, I forget to look up. I forget to see those nail print hands of my Savior blessing me. I forget to think, I need Jesus every day of my life. But then, in those days that are terrible, I'm eager to look up to see if those nail print hands are still there, blessing me. I'm sure you've had those days too. Those days when you lay your loved one into the grave and say your goodbye on this side of eternity. The day when you get a phone call from the doctor and they tell you you've got health problems. The day you're taken to the hospital, you're laid on the table for an operation. The days when you wake up in loneliness and sadness, or you have heartache and sorrow, or your body aches, and you have pains. What would we do? What would we do without those loving hands of our Savior, blessing us every day of our lives? Who can hold us so close to him? Who else can wipe away not only our tears, but also our fears? As Jesus' nail print hands raised over the disciples on that ascension reminds us how much Jesus still does for us. We pray. Lord Jesus, who dost love me, O spread thy wings above me and shield me from alarm. Though evil may assail me, thy mercy will not fail me. I rest in thy protecting arms. Amen. Peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds centered in our ascended Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.